Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Welcome to Deliverance Ministries. I'm Everett Cox. We read in Mark 9 where Jesus was involved in deliverance. And we know we're told by Jesus himself that we're to do the same works. But this particular passage, well, we've got a real live testimony that goes with it. But let me read the scripture first. Over in Mark 9, and this father was saying to Jesus, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And it goes on to say that when they brought this child unto Jesus, it says, when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it since this came into him? And the father said, of a child. And that's what we've got here today, is a testimony of where spirits can come, yes, even into young people, even into children, but also the good news and how we can still set the captives free. I'd like to welcome Jim Ashley to the program. Jim, good to have you.
Thank you for having me today.
Jim, why don't you tell us your testimony? Of course, you're born again, spirit-filled these days.
Yes, we were spirit-filled about 2 years ago. I found the Lord through some other business ventures that I was involved in. And the story that I want to share today basically was something that came across to us about 2 years ago when we were getting into being delivered. I was having myself delivered at the time and delivered away from epilepsy and having seizures. And as I was having myself delivered, I asked if my sister, who was younger than I, could also be set free from the same criteria.
And when did she start having these seizures?
She started at the age of about 6 or 7, and she had been developing a little bit more heavily than I had at the time. And we just wanted to make sure that we could have her set free also. And so we went ahead and prayed and set the captives free as far as the spirits that were filling her body. And we didn't tell my mom or my sister what we had done because we knew that she was supposed to have some medical research based on her seizures about 3 days later from the time we were delivered. And we just wanted to see to make sure ourselves that this was actually something that was done, that there were spirits and that you could cast out spirits. And they came back from the doctor, and the doctor said that they could not find anything wrong with her. The brain scans, the EEGs, everything showed up negative, and they couldn't understand or couldn't explain it. But we knew in our hearts what exactly what had happened, so we knew then that there was something to deliverance and setting captives free and dealing with spirits, and that there was a spiritual warfare out there and that we had to become part of it, and that's when we took a part of it then.
So, Jim, here you were. You'd been having seizures. Your sister had been having seizures for years. And how old, like with your sister, started when she was 6 or 7, and how old was she when she was ministered to?
Okay, she was approximately about 7 and a half at the time. So it happened, she had seizures for about 2 and a half years. I started at the age of 15, and I had 3 major seizures from 15 to 17. And at that time, they put me on medication for about 4 or 5 years. And at that time is when we found Jesus, and we started getting into the deliverance portion of the ministry and found that there wasn't a medical problem with me. It was a spirit problem that was transmitted down from the generations and everything. And so we decided at that point in time that I could take the authority over and break it from me or anybody else in my family. And so that's exactly what we did.
You found out who you were in Jesus. You know that Jesus, the Bible says, destroyed the works of the devil. And then again, Jesus told us as believers to do the same works, to also destroy the works of the devil. We have to do it, though. We've got to be doers of the word. We've got to speak with our mouth. And in his name, in the name of Jesus, we can cancel these generation curses that flow down through the lines. And then we can command the spirit to go, and it goes. What good news that captives can be set free. Just like we read in the account, we find the word is just as true as it ever was, and the same accounts that happened in the days of Jesus are happening today. And here, you and your sister are such an account. Now, it's been 2 years since you all were ministered to. Have you had any more seizures?
No, I haven't had no seizures since that time. And my sister, she does not have any seizures anymore. She lost her hyperactivity, activeness, or whatever you want to call it. And there's a few other things that she also lost in the process. So I think there was, you know, more than just one demon that was dealing with her. And we took care of all of them at that time. You know, I just praise God that we could do it from the standpoint that we did without her really even knowing what was going on, you know.
That is so neat. That is so exciting that we can do this. And I, we just urge you listeners out there to find out who you already are in Jesus, that you've got the power, you've got the authority. By the shed blood of the Lamb, we can deal with these things. We overcome, but we've got to do it. It's not passive. We're to wage a violent gospel, praise God, in the name of Jesus right on the front lines. And that's what we're doing here at Deliverance Ministries, and other Christians are doing them in their ministries. We're all starting to find out who we already are once we're born again. Well, Jim, that's exciting enough, but you've had even another little miracle here. It's not a major item of heart attacks or cancer, but would you care to share that with the listeners?
I sure will. I had a problem with a rash on my left shoulder. It bothered me for about 2 months, and I was getting with you and Carolyn one day, and we sat down and prayed about it, and delivered to it and everything. Next thing I know is we got the next morning, and the whole rash is completely gone. Completely dissipated, and it was just one of those things, again, that I thought I had to go to the doctor again and get checked out, and then we said, hold it, we'll just go talk to Everett and Carolyn and get this thing worked out, and we did.
Talk to Jesus, that's the key. We're just vessels, amen. We're all learning to minister to each other, and certainly we have to call on others to minister to us from time to time, and that's the way to do it. When the Bible says minister one to another, that's what it means, because we all are on the, you know, living in the devil's backyard here, and right in the middle of this activity. But again, if we'll just find out the power that we've got in the name of Jesus, we can prevail. Well, I used to have that same kind of thing, except it was poison ivy, Jim, and I think I told you and your wife Donna about it at the time, and we went through really the same procedure, and I'll share that again with the listeners. Just as Jim saw it work, I've seen it work, and that is in things like rashes or poison ivy, and it really applies to many other things other than this, but it's worked so well with me. Because I used to get poison ivy that would go all over me, I mean from head to toe. And I'd get it nearly about every year, and I'd get the shots and everything, and I just couldn't control it. It seemed like as I got older, the worse it got. I finally learned that, I learned who I was in Jesus. I learned about the Word, and that I could go back to Deuteronomy 28 and look up the items that are under the curse. Well, back in there, it talks about Deuteronomy 28, the blemishes of Egypt, and finally, I saw in there where it said itch. Well, to me, that means poison ivy. It may mean something to someone else, but that's what it meant to me. So here, I know I'm not under that curse anymore because, and I would do this, I'd read that part in there to the poison ivy when I'd have it try to come on me, and that's what we did the day that with your rash, and we read it. We read Deuteronomy 28 concerning the blemishes of Egypt and what's under the curse there. We read it to your rash. We said, listen to this, rash. And we read it. We said, all right, now we're not under that curse anymore. For over here in Galatians 3:13, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us at the tree or on the cross. And we actually read that just like we're talking to somebody. And we were. We were talking to that spirit of that rash or spirit of poison ivy, whoever it is. And then we said, therefore, you don't have any grounds to be here. So we rebuke you and we command you to go. So, spirit of rash, in Jesus' name, now go. In blemishes of Egypt, whoever you are, you know who you are, in Jesus' name, now go and don't return. And you know what? It went. And that's what's happened to me through the years now. Whenever poison ivy has again tried to come up, and ever so often a bump would show up when I've been out in the woods or whatever, and sure enough, here's some bumps trying to come on. Well, I just go through the procedure, and it dries right up. Now, those are small miracles. However, to me, it was a pretty big one because it used to go all over me. And I know it was a nice miracle to you, Jim.
It was. I was irritated with it for 2 months, and it just got to the point that I was agonizing over it. And we got taken care of, and it came back about 2 weeks ago. We went through the same processes with Deuteronomy 28 and went through the whole procedure again just on my own and my wife's own reconnaissance. And the rash went away again. So we know that that works, and we're firm believers on it now. So.
Jim Ashley, you're finding out who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Yes, Jesus is the deliverer.
And Jesus is still setting the captives free.
Hello.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, I'm on the telephone today and coming to you with more of the word and more testimonies. For we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And we're talking some more about this part of the gospel called deliverance. You know, Jesus told believers in his name in Mark 16:17 to cast out demons. And the question is, how do you recognize them? Where are they? Well, really, you recognize them the same way Jesus did. Many times he identified them when he cast them out by what they were tending to do in the person. Well, I'd like to welcome to the radio broadcast today and on the phone with me, long distance from Anadarko, Oklahoma, Robert Moore. Good to have you, Robert.
Good to have the opportunity, Brother Cox, to talk on this, really.
Well, the gospel is so exciting, and you know, so many times we haven't known the miracles that await us until we learn about the Word and then apply it, praise God.
Sometimes we spent 40 years without learning.
Well, I think we've all been down that path. But praise God, we're learning now. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Robert, let me get a little history on you. When was it you were born again?
I was born again, well, actually, probably, I'm just saying, around 48.
Well, quite a few years ago
quite
now.
And then I went in the service and I did a little tour in Korea in 51, 52. And I went back on the Lord and I came back in probably in the late 50s.
Okay. And you were born again through those years and no doubt learning more and more of the gospel, but
right.
So you had some things going on in your life that, why don't you explain to the listeners why it was that you sought ministry?
Well, I would go out, I'm in a construction business, and I would go out on a job and I would work 5 or 10 minutes. Now, this is 7 or 8 years ago. When this happened, and I thought something was drastically wrong. And in the meantime, I went to the Anadarko Hospital there, and the doctor diagnosed me as, well, they said my sugar was real high. So, when I left the doctor's office, the next day I went by myself out to a little old place I had north of here, a little cabin, and I was working on that little cabin, and I got out of the truck, and I worked about 5 minutes, and I was pooped. And I was a Christian at this time, but I had never talked to the Lord like this. I mean, I was in a position I had to have an answer. And I sat down by a tree. I mean, I was exhausted. I said, hey, God, am I dying? And just as audible as you are talking to me, that's the way I heard God. And that's the last time I've heard that audible. He said, yes, you're dying, and if you don't get in my word and stand on it, he said, the devil's trying to kill you, and if you don't get in my word and stand on it, he's going to succeed. And I had listened to... I went in to my sister's house one day, and she listened to Kenneth Copeland, and I listened to a little bit of that, and I started ordering some of his tapes. And I liked him, you know, and I really wanted to believe what he was talking about, you know. So I asked the Lord, I said, what about Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin people? Faith, just faith teaching. He said, well, he said, they're in the Word. He said, you follow them right in the Word, and you get in my Word, and the Word will heal you.
Praise God.
So, the next day they called me from the hospital and said, you get up here and do so and so. I knew in my heart if I went back, and I'm not telling everybody to do this. I think you have to kind of work it out in your own feelings. I knew if I went to the hospital and started on shots, I'd have taken the rest of my life. And I said, hey, God, I don't want that, and I don't want you to... Hold it against me for not going to the hospital. I'm just going to trust your word. So at the took a period of months, and hey, I was healed of that. And then,
praise God.
Later, this is 4 years ago, this coming February, the 7th of February, the devil tried to take my life again in a wreck. And I had a severe concussion and went to the hospital. And I had some seizures in the hospital. And the next morning when I woke up, I was just about ready to come home, and I was getting my clothes on that thing, and I felt this feeling in my head, you know, trying to expose itself, you know. And I lay down on the bed, and the Holy Spirit said, "That's an evil spirit, the spirit of seizures." In other words, he was, and I knew it all this. You know, you have to take that into account. Everything was pretty new to me. Holy Spirit said, "That's an evil spirit. Take authority over it." So I said, "In the name of Jesus, you spirit of seizures, I bind you in the name of Jesus." And it left.
Hallelujah. Could you feel it go? Or?
I could feel it go. It started and it stopped. It's like you flip the switch off. You know, rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Praise
okay,
God.
7 weeks. I went.
And we have 4 minutes remaining here.
Okay.
So.
I had 7 weeks without anything. But after that, every day on the 7th month, I had seizures till. Well,
on the same day of the month.
Yeah, same day of every month.
Very strange.
Uh-huh. And anyway, I went to your ministry. It's been now at least 3 to 4 months, and I haven't had any more.
Praise God. When you were ministered to, Robert, could you feel them coming out again, or what happened when you were actually ministered to?
When I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't feel that much. I felt better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the next few days, I kept feeling better.
Praise God. The power in the name. Amen.
Right. And there was some stuff I had to do even after I came back. I had gifts to people.
Which we discovered was an open door,
right,
that was allowing this thing, or a legal right for the
right
thing to operate. The tormenting spirit of convulsions.
Right.
And you had a number of spirits. How many do you think we actually cast out?
I'd say 10, 15.
Yeah. All there to torment. They all come to kill, destroy, and steal some way or another to block our abundant life that we're to have in Christ Jesus, and certainly to block our ministries.
Right.
Well, Robert...
Let me say this.
Okay.
They will try to come back, but you have to feed them in the name of Jesus. And all that door is shut there, or you can't come back in.
Hallelujah. Well, James 4:7 tells us that we're to submit ourselves to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee.
Amen.
We don't seem to just get a free ride. We have to do something in this gospel, but praise God, is it worth it?
We act on it.
Yes, as we act on it, as we do something, as we apply the word, praise God, we win.
You know,
well, that is definitely worth it.
Amen. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Well, these convulsions were really tormenting you just...
The last one was horrible. I mean, the last one,
it was a major seizure, wasn't it?
A major seizure. It lasted nearly an hour when I woke up.
Oh.
I was sore all over, and the next 3 days, one of my arms was black and blue, and I asked my wife, was I beating myself? She said, no, you weren't. She said, you weren't touching yourself. But your neck was twisted around to where she felt my head was going to pop off. Anyway, in my spirit now, I can see those demons working on my arm, you know.
Praise God. But you've had no more seizures. How long has it been now, Robert?
It's been at least a little over 3 months.
Hallelujah. Well, there's lots of reasons seizures may be upon us, certainly. They could be chemical imbalance. It could be brain damage. But it also can be a spirit, and a spirit might be connected with those other two as well. So
yeah,
certainly as we apply the word, coming against suspect spirits, like the spirit of convulsion and others, in the name of Jesus, praise God, we win.
You know it. Amen.
Well, Brother Robert Moore in Anadarko, Oklahoma, thank you for sharing on how Jesus said you...
3, 2, 1. Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. If my voice sounds a little different today, it's because I'm on a long-distance phone patch again. Because I'm searching, and as we minister to people, I'm searching out those that would like to give their testimonies, those that have been set free. And I'd like to introduce today, from Carlsbad, New Mexico, on the line, long distance with me, is Pastor James McCormick. Brother McCormick, good to have you on.
Greetings, Everett. It's nice to be here from you this afternoon and be with you. How are things in Oklahoma?
Oh, just fine. Beautiful. And tell me, Jim, I'm just going to call you Jim here. You and your wife came to Oklahoma City, it's been, a month or so ago?
Yeah, it's about 3 weeks, close to that, close to a month, Everett.
And she was ministered to, but before you get into that, why don't you give us a little background on yourself and what you do there in Carlsbad, New Mexico, and how it was that you did finally had the leading to come to Oklahoma City.
Sure, Everett, we'd be glad to share all the good things the Lord's did for us. I might give you a little background. We were called into the ministry at an early age, and we've spent almost 30 years in various types of ministry, and God's blessed us. Early in the 70s, Everett, when God began to restore the deliverance ministry to the body of Christ, we became quite involved with the limited knowledge we had at the time, and we did quite well in deliverance ministry, but we at the time were in a denomination that did not believe that ministry was valid and real for today, and of course, very soon, Everett, we were branded as Beelzebub, much like they did Jesus, and then like the man, when Jesus ministered to the man of Gadara, they pretty soon wanted us out of their coast. And so, along with that, we in our ministry, of course, contacted and, came head to head with Satanists and lots of the strong witchcraft, devil worship that was in this town. And through contact with that ministry, we became a target for strong demonic hexes, jinxes, curses, incantations. At one time, they even broke into our church and did sacrifice there. And we didn't take those things quite lightly at that time. But soon after that, my wife began to have severe pain and attacks of various kinds. And it came and progressed to where, in a matter of a year or two, it was a debilitating thing. And we almost shut our ministry down, and we went through then for about a 9-year period, a real nightmare of pain, hospitals, doctors, treatment, and just a nightmare of pain. It virtually paralyzed our ministry. But wrangling through that, God was good, and we began to really seek Him, and God began to do a series of miraculous healings in Mary's life. But we had areas that just would not give, and there were some strongholds there, of course. And we praise the Lord that God eventually directed us to Oklahoma, and you and your wonderful wife ministered to Mary and I, and we received there a tremendous miracle of deliverance and healing, and most of all, Everett, we received an ally in this ministry, which we cherish very much.
And, praise God.
So God tremendously ministered us. We were blessed there, and you shared tremendous knowledge with us. And upon returning home, Mary has she's delivered. She is free. Those spirits of pain that and those spirits of death that had been upon her, those things have not returned, and we're just.
She had been, Jim. She'd been in pain for quite some time in her back.
She had been in pain somewhere in her body for 10 years, various hospitalizations, a tremendous medical history there, and even at times, Everett had severe bodily, physical attacks by demonic powers, and the evil would speak to her and just seek to destroy her.
Even had some convulsions, did she not?
Yes, she had at times when these attacks would persist, she would go in and have convulsions.
That's kind of where the devil overplayed his hand, wasn't it? Because then you realized it did look like it might be demonic.
Yes, it began to take on a resemblance there of a demonic activity, and so we knew we were on to something there, and we prayed, and we wound up there, and by coming to you, we tore down those strongholds that we'd never been able to tear down before, and then healing, as your wife ministered healing to her, and she was set totally free. And but you know, the thing, Everett, in the midst of all this, Satan at one time almost had me believing that if I would just settle down and just go back to normal ministry and not do deliverance, that my wife would get well and things would just flow out. And, you know, that's a real deception. But we praise God that he delivered her. He set her totally free. And we're now seeing in this local body, we're seeing real inroads and real deliverance. And
your ministry has really opened up, hasn't it, Jim?
Yes. And we're seeing tremendous inroads now and some real miracles of deliverance. And we just can't thank you and your team there and your wife enough for your ministry. And so we say to you, keep it up, and we just look forward to being able to come there and get involved more with you.
Well, that's great, Jim. You know, there's probably people listening right now that are having pain, that are having problems in their back. And you know, it's... Satan comes to kill and destroy and steal in so many ways, and we've learned to be suspicious. I've always heard their people warn you, well, you get into deliverance, you're going to look for a demon behind every bush. But you know, that as years go by, you finally start realizing that the bush may be made of them, simply because you do see so much of it, and I have to recognize that he's been at work a lot more than I ever thought he was, and pulling all kinds of strings on us, and it isn't until the Christians resist the devil that he'll flee, and most of us haven't even resisted because we didn't even know where the war was and who was causing it, you know.
Yes, this is very true, and we need knowledge and discernment in that area, and I just praise the Lord for your ministry. There were just some minor keys that we were missing that really hindered us in this area, and so Paul said he fights not as one that beateth against the air. We must know how the enemy works, able to recognize him, and to do warfare with him effectively.
So, and that's kind of what we stumbled into, wasn't it, Jim? In your wife's case, there were some outstanding curses that were probably the key there, do you feel?
Yes, we feel like it really was. And had we been a little more knowledgeable, and if we had have had contact and an ally and some more people involvement with people like your ministry, we could have turned this thing around, I'm quite sure, months or maybe even years earlier. And so we need to be knowledgeable, we need to communicate, and we just appreciate so much what you're doing there in this area.
Well, when we sat down, Jim, with your wife, Mary Helen, kind of got into it, and we were able to finally smoke out some curses that had been spoken, actually probably several curses, even from a satanic group, but even also from some Christians that really didn't realize what they were doing. And as these were spoken, we found it allows Satan to put a demon on assignment. And once we broke those curses, canceled out the legal right for the demons to be there, then we could command the demons of death, demons of pain, and various other associated spirits that we had on our suspect list. Praise God, they went, and we saw Jesus set your wife free. How exciting it is to come into this knowledge.
Yes, that's true. Everett, in the book of James, it speaks concerning out of the same mouth should not proceed blessings wherewith we bless God and curse men. That is a tremendous scripture of the church. That is so subtle, and we realize not that within our own body, the power of the tongue, that we, when we have evil intent and speak it toward others, we are loosing demonic spirits and causing them to become a target of satanic activity.
Yes, and as we learn, we are seeing Jesus set the captives free. As we apply the power, we see
Jesus move and the power of the Holy Spirit set them free. Pastor James McCormick of Carlsbad, New Mexico, thank you for being on the program with me.
Yes, I've enjoyed it tremendously, Everett, and the Lord bless you all there in Oklahoma, and y'all have a wonderful day in Jesus.
Amen. We'll see you later, and thank you.
Okay.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.
Yes, Jesus is a deliverer, and Jesus is still setting the captives free. Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministry. You know, it's testimonies that make it so exciting. Our feeling here is at Deliverance Ministries that, you know, you can't argue with a testimony. A lot of people argue over theology and all that, but you really can't argue with what Jesus has done in somebody's life. Well, here on the program today to share with us is Anna Olibert. Anna, good to have you on the telephone with me today.
Thank you.
Anna, I'd like to get a little history on you, if I might. When was it that you were born again?
I was a child. All my life, I believed in my heart of hearts that I was Jesus' child. I was his little lamb. But it wasn't until I was a teenager that I felt I had a real Mother Teresa-type calling on my life to minister to children, small children. Some of them were even handicapped, and I just couldn't understand how people didn't have the understanding that they could come to Jesus as a child, and it didn't make any difference what they had ever done, where they were in their life, that Jesus meets us at that point. And I was baptized when I was probably 10. It was a major, major thing in my life. I just felt all my life that God had a purpose for me with a special close type walk. And I had a major stroke in January of 92. I had the type of stroke that if you have a psychiatrist or a doctor who can walk you through your past life in a short period of time after you have the stroke, then you have some recovery. I had a large picture of Jesus on the wall in my home, did not recognize my own children, but I knew Jesus. And it was as if Jesus was really talking to me that my life was not over. In 96, I had
You didn't hear a voice, but you knew inside.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very much so. And in 96, I just really said, Lord, if I'm going to really be healed of the speech problem that I have, the walking difficulty, I need a walker that will fold up and has wheels. I never thought of asking God to deliver me from dementia or my seizures. I just knew that I could make the best of this and be victorious in the situation. But for God to heal me totally of the situation was not in my mental. I just never believed or even gave it a thought to ask God to heal me, because doctors will tell you, you don't get healed of dementia. That's a form of Alzheimer's. But in November, at our church, at City Church, we had a healing service, and I was delivered completely of any effects of dementia. I had no situation whatsoever of having blank spots or amnesia, and it put an anger, a real fire in me, that if God could heal me of that, then I wanted a total restoration in my spiritual life, in my prayer life.
You were ready to go all the way then.
Yes. I wanted to walk totally victoriously. So at the February the 5th, our pastor was moving on into a different part of the service, and it was like God said, you want your healing, you go down there and get it. And so this fire that was lit under me, literally, I went down and I said, Pastor, I have come for my healing. And before they could anoint me with oil, I was just out in the spirit. And when I came up, or was beginning to come awareness, of course, you and Pastor Patrick were taking me into another room to where we could really talk about some deliverance. And I think that really made me see I had never dealt with some real anger and resentment. So I was on a new quest, I guess, to say that I didn't want a partial healing. I wanted a total, total healing. And I know that that was available to me because the scriptures say, whosoever. So there's not a discrimination there.
What seemed to happen when you were ministered to Anna?
Oh, a freedom, a peace, a total, total peace in my shoulders and in the tension in my chest. It just seemed like I could sit up a whole lot straighter. I could breathe deeper into my diaphragm. And because I'm a singer, this was a major, major freedom to me.
Now, you've been having seizures as well, is that right?
Yes, I had. Sometimes maybe 3 and 4 a day. One day I had 5. So it really limits you being able to go and do what normal people do.
Yes, yeah, so as we ministered to you, could you feel anything come out, or what seemed to go on?
Well, due to the fact I'm very much aware of your ministry and deliverance, I knew what to expect. But the normal things, like maybe burping or gas or something of that nature or a yawn, I didn't have that. But what I did really feel was being able, as I said, to breathe deep into my diaphragm. And I think I remember the heaviness in my chest just seemed to just disappear. I don't remember if I yawned.
We did get hold of a head demon, if I recall, and that seemed to be the big guy, and then he disclosed some of the other spirits down underneath. And
right.
So that way we were really able to move along.
Right. We discovered right off that I had a tremendous amount of anger and resentment, which I didn't even realize I had. But once you led me through the deliverance, I won't say conversation, more like a prayer, of casting this particular demon out, the freedom was just so, so peaceful.
Hallelujah. Well, how have you been since then?
Well, I've been helping at Mother's Day Out three days a week. Have had absolutely no difficulty. It's like I can't wait to wake up in the morning to start my day.
You've had no more seizures in how many months is that?
Been since February the 5th.
So and several months.
Several months, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you decided, and yes, I see you singing in the choir, and you are full of the Spirit up there. Praise God. Well, Anna, also you decided you thought you should have a water baptism.
Yes. We have, as tried to figure out how to say this, due to the fact we had our apostolic conference, the Lord revealed to me that because I had said, Lord, I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. Whatever you have for me, I want to walk in that. And because of my total healing and my deliverance, God took me at my word when I said, I want to truly be a vessel. I want you to just flow through my life. And he put in me a burning that I was moving up to a higher plane of Zion. And in doing that, in talking to my pastor, I just really felt that I should be baptized, water baptized, as an adult, because I have a much more deeper understanding than I did as a little child of just saying, yes, Jesus, I recognize you as my Savior and
as my
Lord.
That's true with so many of us, isn't it? As a child, we didn't really understand what we were doing that much.
That's true.
But in our remaining here, what I was there when you were water baptized, and you had quite an experience, didn't you?
I did. I was slain in the Spirit or overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit to where it just was as if I was a feather just floating on top of the water.
Well, you came out of the water, and then when Pastor Lusk, laid hands on you and started praying over you in the Spirit, you seemed to go down, and you were still standing in the water.
I was floating, yes. Yes, and it was just like the icing on the cake. It was like God said, see, I told you if you would be obedient that I would reveal myself to you fully, and he is definitely doing that.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for sharing a beautiful testimony on how Jesus has set you free, has healed you, and now you are free to move forward to serve him unhindered by the darkness of the world. Anna Olivera, thank you so much for being on the program.
Oh, thank you for letting me.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.
And here on the program today to share is Doyle Weber. Doyle, good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Everett. I appreciate it.
Doyle, you've been on the program before, and you've had a personal experience in your family that's just, well, a beautiful testimony that goes along with what we were just saying, how Jesus is setting people free, and his word is alive and well. Doyle, how about describing and giving us a testimony of what happened in your family here some years ago now?
Thank you, Everett. Back in 1977, I have a son who is now 35, and it was born with grand mal seizures. And prior to that, I did not know what the word said about me and my family and the authority that I had over sickness and sin and disease and the devil. I was attending a church there in called the Lighthouse in Anadarko, Oklahoma, where Brother Bingham is the pastor. And we talked about my son's condition and what could be done about it. So we gathered together, a group of probably a dozen of us, and for three and a half days and three nights, we fasted and prayed. And this young man had one seizure after another. The devil was really trying to destroy him.
He couldn't work or anything, could he, Doyle?
Couldn't do anything. He had a hard time remembering things. His retention was just very short. At that time, I guess he was probably maybe 22 years old, if he was that old. I guess 20 is what he would have been. So for 3.5 days and nights, we fasted and prayed, and he had one seizure after the other, and we would just...
Even while you were there fasting?
Yes, yes. The devil was just showing his power and his force.
Where'd you all go to do this?
It's in our home. There in Anadarko. And as we prayed and he had these seizures, we would just, he was laying there in bed. I would get a straddle of him and command Satan in the name of Jesus to loose him and let him go. And through his voice and through his eyes, he would curse me and threaten to kill me and do all manner of things in order to get us to leave him alone.
So you actually had demon manifestations up when you were praying for him. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Certainly did. In fact, it screamed at us on several occasions. And just as we were really beginning to, we were tired, but we had been refreshed through the Spirit of God. He was laying on the couch, and it was in the living room area just in front of the fireplace. And this was about... probably 5 o'clock in the morning. And he was laying there just like he was asleep, and we were all silently praying and on our knees. And he raised up about halfway to his waist, and a shriek came out of him and went straight up the chimney and out. And he turned and sat down, his feet on the floor, and he looked around and he said, "What's everybody doing here, Dad?" And God, for 3.5 days, erased his memory. He's never recalled it. He's never said a word about it. What occurred over those days, it's just like he took them away from him, and time stood still. But he's had a job now with the state of Oklahoma, the Department of Human Services, for over 12 years. He's been seizure-free. At that time, he was on 5 different medications. He takes one little medication today, and that's it. It is proof positive how much God loves us and what He desires to do for us, and that He will do anything that we ask of Him, as it says in Mark, in His name, if we only believe and receive.
Well, Doyle, when did you first suspicion his problem might be a demonic problem? And had you ever tried to come against her? And how'd you get onto that, that it might be a demon there that was causing this?
Well, back in 1976, I was raised a Southern Baptist. And I love them. They're great, great brothers. There's nobody knows the plan of salvation any better than a Southern Baptist. But somewhere along the translation, bless their hearts, they don't go any further in the Scriptures about the Word and the healing power of Jesus Christ. It is His will that we be made whole, as He told the leper. He said, if you will, you can heal me. And God said, I will, be thou made whole. I received an invitation from Oral Roberts University to come to Mabee Seminary, to one of their seminars. At that time, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of speaking in tongues. And there I learned what the Word has to say about me and my authority in the Word and my headship as the head of the household and who I am in Christ Jesus. And I began to hunger and thirst after the Word and study. And from there, when I moved back to Anadarko, Oklahoma from Albuquerque, New Mexico, it's when I met Brother Bingham, and we helped him build a church there from the ground up. I mean, physically build the building.
Interesting thing. I was born in Anadarko, Doyle. In fact, here in recent years, I've spoken down there in Brother Bingham's church.
Small world, isn't it?
I didn't know if you knew that, but it was on Sunday night service, and I spoke on deliverance.
Well, he's a great man of God, and he knows the power of the Word and God's power. And by working with him and under the anointing, I invited he and the group of the people of the house that would be interested in deliverance. And that's how it came about, just from the love of God through people and using us as willing vessels and through His power of deliverance.
When you finally read that believers in the name of Jesus shall cast out devils, at some point it obviously spoke to you that this might be the situation with your son. And of course, herein lies the practicality of that scripture where Jesus told believers, he didn't say a few believers, or he said all of the believers, you know, believers are to cast out devils. And I see the practicality now when we cast them out, just in the case with your son, now your son is free. So it's sad that many people have not really been doers of the Word. They may hear it a little bit, but they don't do it. Well, praise God, you did it. And look at the results.
Amen. I recall that prior here to the deliverance, one of the young ladies who was a vocalist in the church and very active walked to the door, and through her God spoke, and in a loud voice she said, "Satan!" And everybody just was shocked. But the spirit within him, the evil spirit within him, also shuddered and ceased at that moment. He just lay back on the bed like he was dead. And from there, we moved him from his bed in his bedroom to the couch. We physically carried him. He was out. And I recall in the scriptures where the angel, when it was fighting for the spirit of Moses, Michael, rebuked the devil. Said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And that was Jesus rebuking that spirit within him. And from there, that's when everything, he loosed him and let him go. And today he's free. He lives by himself. He's a productive citizen. He has a and I forgot to tell you that he went on to college. He has an associate's degree in printing.
Even his mind came around.
Amen. Absolutely. His retention is there. He can recall things today. But that 3.5 days got erased from his memory. Praise God.
Well, Brother Doyle, that's our Jesus setting the captives free. Thank you for sharing that beautiful testimony. Yes, we find that Jesus is still delivering, delivering from death into life, delivering from sickness into health. And here on the program today is another testimony on how the Lord is doing just that. I'd like to welcome Terry Ginn to the program. Terry, good to have you.
Good morning. Good to be here, Everett.
Terry, well, let's get a little history on you. How long ago was it that you were born again?
I was about 15 or 16, which makes, what, about 25 years or thereabouts.
And how'd your life go? What was going on in your life at that time? I'm sure you saw quite a difference and felt different.
Actually, I didn't feel that great a difference. I had this belief that Jesus was the Son of the living God, but I didn't really do a whole lot about it. As a matter of fact, it was really about a year before I even started attending church. And for many, many years, I was nothing more than a carnal Christian.
But you just accepted the Lord by yourself, no doubt the Holy Spirit drawing you.
Oh, absolutely. It was not of me.
Well, as years went on, what else finally developed in your life?
Well, the Lord would deal with me whenever I would be open enough to allow Him in. He put me in the Episcopal Church a number of years ago, and they have a renewal movement called Cursillo. It's a Spanish word. It means a short course, and it's literally a short course in Christianity. And I would go through stages of being more carnal than anything else, but eventually the Lord would work with me until the time about 4 years ago as a Lenten discipline. During Lent, you know, we give up some things and we do some things affirmative that we wouldn't ordinarily do. We should be doing them, but we don't necessarily do them. So 4 years ago, I prayed on what the Lord would have me do during Lent. And one of the affirmative things was really the thing that has turned my life around and has put my spirit a lot more in control of my life than my flesh. And it was a very simple thing that most Christians do not do, and that is read the Word of God.
How interesting that the Word brought you into the freedom. And, of course, really we've always known it's the Word that was even made flesh. Jesus came in the flesh. And as we focus on the Word, focus on Jesus, all kinds of things seem to happen to us.
Amen.
Well, what were some of those things?
Well, as I got more into the Word, I started really paying attention to it. And in the 16th chapter of Matthew's, Jesus says that they will speak in other tongues, they will cast out demons in my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And well,
pretty strong medicine, isn't it?
It really is a pretty strong medicine, and it's a message that much of the church doesn't really want to deal with today. And then I got into the book of Acts. Well, I'm a real history nut. And, you know, well, what I first saw was the story of the early church in formation. But then I started noticing these weird things. I mean, they were speaking in tongues. I mean, that is weird, right? Also, they were casting out demons. They were healing the sick. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, hey, this stuff is real. This stuff is right now.
It occurred to you that the Word was still as true as it was 2,000 years ago. Is that right?
Absolutely. It hasn't changed. You know, Jesus is the same now, yesterday, today, and forever. Right. Well, when Lent came and went, and by the way, I recommend reading 3 chapters a day, because that puts everything into perspective, and that really opened up the Word for me. But when Lent was over, I stayed in the Word, and a friend would give me recommend several books for me. As a matter of fact, he gave several books for me, and I read that. And then, also during Lent, I had had arthritis in my knee, and my Cursillo group laid hands on me and prayed. And I prayed, and after about a week, the pain of the arthritis in my left knee was gone. Well, July of that year, I decided that I was going to, you know, get rid of some of the other things that were bothering me. And through a series of events that was totally the Holy Spirit, I talked to a friend of mine, and I had said I had just been diagnosed as having hypoglycemia, which, of course, is low blood sugar. And he said, my wife had just been delivered from hypoglycemia. and he told me a little bit about it, and he impulsively jumped to the phone and called her. Well, she didn't want to talk about it, but he was pretty persistent, so she agreed, and we chatted on the phone for a few minutes. And then, totally, through the work of the Holy Spirit, I was trying to see him, and he wasn't available, and the Holy Spirit allowed me to go by, and I visited with her. And we talked for about 30 minutes about all the medical things that were wrong with me. So one thing led to another, and I was led to a man with a deliverance ministry. And I met with him for either an hour and a half or 2.5 hours. I really, 2 days later, I forgot the exact time.
It's easy to lose track of time when you're in deliverance.
Boy, I can identify with that. Anyway, he ascertained first that I was a born-again believer. And then he started laying the groundwork for the deliverance that was to come. He gave me the example of the demon that had been cast out and had floated around for a while and then came back, found the house clean, in other words, the body clean.
Matthew 12.
Thank you. Never can remember that scripture. And brought in 7 demons worse than himself. So he was laying the groundwork for what was to come, and to cover yourself with the blood of the Lamb when you that's something I do a lot now. We won't go into that, take too long.
I do it every day.
Praise God. I do it especially when I'm working with stained glass. But anyway, he laid the groundwork, and then a couple of days later, we went out to his second office, his car in Lake Hefner, and I was I didn't really know what was going on, you know. And he put his little pocket cross over on the steering wheel, and he took authority in the name of Jesus. He covered us with the blood of the Lamb for sure, for protection, and he took authority over those spirits and commanded any that had left to re-enter my body. And then he ordered them to look at that cross. And all of a sudden, I noticed my eyes just instantly go to that little pocket cross which he'd placed on the steering wheel. And right then, I'm thinking, what's going on here? And I as I recall, I was a little bit scared, but I had total faith because I knew that this was in the Word of God. So this was of the Lord. So he started asking the spirits to identify themselves. And it was almost comical. The first one to identify himself was hypoglycemia. And it came out of my mouth as hypoglycemia.
And it wasn't you speaking.
Oh, no, it wasn't me speaking. It wasn't me speaking at all. And he took authority and cast it out. And the next one came up was something that was really, and this is the most powerful part of this whole story, epilepsy. There is no medical cure for epilepsy. And a hypoglycemia you can work with. Epilepsy, you can only hope that you can control it with all kind of medications. And I was spending something in the neighborhood of $40 a month on medication just to control my epilepsy. Well, that was cast out, and there's more to that story later. And then a whole bunch of others, I heard the words coming out of my mouth, and this is a true story. I actually had to go home and look up in the dictionary to find out what one of them was, because I did not even know what it meant. So, anyway, there's a lot more to the story. We really don't have time to tell it, but my wife attended a church that really doesn't like this kind of thing. They have trouble with it. And she would give truth to the story that I was no longer laying there in bed at night with my body jumping up and down because of epilepsy. I was totally healed, and even though her church doesn't teach that, she gave testimony to it.
You'd say that Jesus is still the deliverer, right, Terry?
Amen.
And you're a living example of it. Thank you, Terry Jen, on sharing how Jesus set you free.
Well, here on the program today, I'd like to welcome Margaret Doerr in Tulsa. Margaret, good to have you on.
Well, great. It's great to be, talking to you, Reverend Cox. And I appreciate your ministry so much. You've helped me so much.
Well, you had called, it's been quite a few months back, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been, well, over 6 months and maybe 7, 8 months. And I just was so excited, you know, about my son.
Now, you had explained your son had been having various problems. Could you just touch on that a little bit?
Yes, he was, my son Leo Dore, for years. I mean, it started, he was beat up by this boy that did judo and kicked him in the face. And Leo had to have his nose rebuilt, and but nothing happened. And then after a couple of years, he started having these seizures and, you know, having problems like, schizophrenia. And we didn't know what it was because he'd been brought up real strong in the Lord. I'm a minister, spirit-filled, since 1970, and I had been, I came out of the world, I was Catholic. And so this, my son and daughter were real strong. I've graduated from Rhema. My daughter graduated from Rhema. So we're good people, and, you know, all this happening. And so he started having these panic attacks and seizures and just terrible. And it just went on and on. This has been really heavy since 1990.
How old is he now?
He's 30. He'll be 34 in July 5th.
How long had these gone on?
These have gone on since, I'd say, real heavy since 1990. They really, actually, Thanksgiving in 1988, he went into his first one. Right at the Thanksgiving dinner, we went to wake him up. We had been in a car accident the night before, and I think it jarred his head up there where he was beat up real bad. And then, he started slowly having panic attacks. And
finally, he couldn't even work.
No. He's been in the hospital, in the hospital here in Oklahoma, in Vinita. He was there, and then 2 years ago, they sent him over to Griffin Memorial, and he's coming out now. He's going into you sent your assistant, John Sig, is that Sigmund?
Yes, John Sigmund, who lives in Norman.
Yes.
And since he was in the hospital there at Norman, it seemed logical maybe John could go up, and he was able to go. I don't think he had a lot of time. They didn't seem to allow a lot of time for him to minister, but
He was able to, and he was old, and he laid a Bible on Leo's chest, and Leo prayed, and Leo felt something leave, and so did the minister. And so we don't know what, it could have been a demon when the boy was chanting and kicking my son in the head. I don't know. We don't know. We have repented. But ever since that time, Leo has not had another seizure, another panic attack.
Hallelujah.
And can you believe that? It's 12 years. And, the hospital, of course, they think it's, their medicine and everything. But that's, I used to, resent that, but that's fine. That's where they're at. But we know that God is faithful, and I don't know why we had to wait this long. And but God sent your John Sigmund and anyway, it was just
like the days.
Can't believe it. And
it's just like the days of Jesus.
It is. But it's just We've come. It's hard because it's not hard. It's searching for the his deliverance and everything. But
wasn't easy, was it?
No, because it hasn't been
there's
easy.
There's not many that seem to minister in this and do this works of Jesus. Strange as that is.
Well, you're right, because see, I had someone came up to me at Griffin Memorial a year ago. I don't know. I never got his name, but he said, "You need to get a hold of Reverend Cox." And I said, "Well, who is he?" And he says, "He will help your son." He was, I was visiting my son, and he sat next to me. He was visiting a lady, and he had a Bible there, and we started talking, and he said, "You should get a hold of Reverend Cox. He will help you." And anyway, he gave me your number, and and then he was gone. He was like an angel or something.
Maybe he was, Margaret. I know the Lord sends people here to the ministry since there's so few around doing this works of Jesus, and it's an awesome thought that God would actually channel them in. But you know, as you show yourself approved in an area of ministry, and there are people out there praying, God help me. Well, God steers them in, you know.
Yes, and they're desperate. They're just it's so sad, you know. They're you know, we go to church and everything, but I've been to, you know, so many churches here in Tulsa, and I love them all, you know, but they, you know, I couldn't tell them. And then when you did tell them, you know, they looked at you like, well, what sin did you do? Well, you know, I didn't, you know, the enemy hates us because I love the Lord, and
well, you know,
all these years I've served him.
You know, Margaret, Christians are the targets.
Yes, they are.
And until we learn to counter, to resist the devil, they can take advantage of us. And it's happening all over the body of Christ. Most people think their problems are just flesh and blood. They don't consider the spiritual possibilities whatsoever.
No. And they, you know, they're not open to it. And they, it's a warfare. And then, you know, as you go on into the Lord, it seems like in the last few months it's just gotten deeper and deeper in the Lord. I see the people, you know, they're high up in the ministry, they're just getting hit so hard. And well, anyone that wants to just say I'm going to serve God with all my heart, he just comes in and tries to, like Job, you know, curse God. And you know, his wife told him, he said, why don't you just curse God and die, you know. But it's very, but I have found that I've slowly growing in the Lord, you know, and had to put away my hurt and anger against these doctors, and they're only doing what they're taught. But
yes, and of course, forgiving is a major function of getting free. That's one of the major doors that we run into that you have to deal with before the people can get effective ministry in this.
Yeah, because we were so angry. We were angry at the church because, you know, everybody just turned from us and turned. You know, we weren't those perfect people anymore. And then the doctors, they were real mean. They said it was because I was too religious, and they just blamed me for everything. And then, of course, I was brought up, you know, to just like the liberals, you know, and all, you know. But the Lord said, the Lord even showed Leo, he said, you've got to pray for all these doctors and all these people here, that they're your assignment, and pray that they'll go to heaven.
Yes.
I mean, they're no different than you and me.
Yes, that the Holy Spirit will touch them, convict them, and draw them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the doctors, yes, they have their training, and mm-hmm. in various situations, I know, the drugs can help people get kind of balanced where they can cope.
Oh, I know.
But in so many cases, it's kind of overboard, and they're so sedated, they can hardly function.
Right, and they, you know, and they, the poor doctors, they're doing what they can. They're just practicing. No, but I,
it gets down to this, Margaret. If it's a spiritual problem, you've got to deal with it with spiritual
power.
You
really do. And this, and, you know, I just wasn't sure at times, but, you know, but I, the last few years I had been, and we had really been, searching for help, and I just can't thank God enough for your ministry. You just, it's just, you know, people have opened up. Now, Leo, we could have opened up in other ways. I don't know. The only way I could think of was when he got beat up, you know, and that boy was chanting. But who knows, you know, maybe somewhere I opened up. You know, I was in the world. I was
a spirit of trauma might have come in at that point. There's a lot of things that can happen, you know, during that violence. But in any case, the blood of Jesus is sufficient to deal with it as we finally focus.
Yes.
Well, Margaret Dorr of Tulsa, thank you so much for sharing on what Jesus has done with your son Leo.
Well, thank you. It's been I just can't thank God enough for your ministry, and be blessed. And again, I hope this will help other people. And just know God is faithful,